And the fallout is continuing in Australia following yesterday's police raid on the national broadcaster, the ABC. And I'm joined by Dr. Joseph Fernandez, who's a media law expert from Curtin University in Perth. Good evening, Joseph.
Good evening, Karen. Good to be with you.
Yeah, great to have you here. Hey, for those who haven't been following the story, can you give us a quick background to all this?
Yeah, what's happened here is in the space of 2 days, a journalist and subsequently the national broadcaster's premises were raided by police. In the first case, it involved a journalist who had published a story concerning a secret plan that would have allowed an Australian agency to spy on Australian citizens for the first time and to gain access to their emails, bank records, and text messages, and so on. And the police spent 7 hours at a home going through her computer and other things. And in the second action, which happened yesterday, a team of Australian federal police officers visited the ABC headquarters in Ultimo, Sydney, in pursuit of details concerning an ABC story a while back, which revealed allegations of unlawful killings and misconduct by Australian special forces in Afghanistan. And these stories were based off hundreds of pages of secret defense documents leaked to the ABC. So in both cases, there was information that was used in the stories that the government authorities consider to have been based on classified information. And they were after the sources, very obviously. And matters are still afoot. As far as the ABC event yesterday is concerned, I understand there is a hiatus, a temporary lull in activity, maybe about 2 weeks to give both sides to go off and consider matters in greater detail. And today, the acting AFP chief gave a press conference in which he said basically that he's not ruling out charges against journalists themselves, leave alone the whistleblowers at the heart of these stories.
Joseph, they're two separate stories. Is the source the same?
No, different sources, different subject matters.
Yes, different subject matters, but they're kind of in a vaguely similar area. So yeah. Why did the police get involved? Who gave them the go-ahead to get involved?
This is how the law roughly works. Once the law classifies information as secret, official secret, and if that information appears somewhere, then obviously there's been a leak of some kind. And in such a situation, the head of department or head of the relevant department would lodge a complaint with the police. And the police, in turn, have an obligation to carry out their duties provided under the law. And strictly speaking, that's what the police are arguing that they have done. They have merely acted in accordance with the black letter of the law.
Why are they so closely linked, though, one day after the other, separate stories?
This good question that you asked there. This is the thing that's troubling many minds. Some of the information that was published and which was the subject of the police investigation were published as far back as 2016. One report I read today suggested maybe even as far back as 2015. And why all of a sudden, in the space of 2 days, have the police decided to go after two different media organizations, two different sets of stories? And of course, people are also asking, is there more to come?
Have there been any answers to that? Has anybody got to the bottom of it, or are journalists just hunkering down at the moment?
At the moment, I guess journalists are more concerned about those at the heart of the action are concerned about what this will mean in terms of their own liabilities that they may face, and the organizations, what liabilities that they too would face, what sort of challenges that they might consider mounting against the seizure of materials and any prosecution that may be launched. Not to forget as well, there is a silent, a relatively silent party in this, and that's the source of the information themselves, the people who supply this information, or whom we may refer to loosely as the whistleblowers. They have not come out actively. There was one today, a person who provided the information for the ABC's Afghanistan story, and has come out and said, well, I am that person. I am that source of that information. I am the whistleblower, and I felt that I had a duty to expose this information. And basically, he's saying, come and get me.
But not giving his name.
Oh, no, he's given his name. He's been identified himself. You know, he's a former SAS soldier and quite an accomplished person, a lawyer as well, I believe, himself.
Well, he'd know a bit about it. He'd know also about the balance with public interest, I would imagine, and yes, whether this information on both of these separate stories is in the public interest.
Yeah, so that's another interesting point you just mentioned there. There's a conflict here. There's a serious conflict here as to whether these stories should have been published. A conflict that is created by the media's judgment of what is in the public interest. Do the public deserve to be informed of this information? And on the other hand, the police, acting police chief, AFP chief, saying, well, that's really not our concern. We're not interested in whether the story was relevant or not. All we're doing is acting on a referral to us that certain official information, officially secret information, has appeared in the public domain, and our duty is to go and investigate how that came about.
Would this be from the Defence Ministry?
One of the referrals is from the Home Ministry, and the other is from another government agency. I can't quite put my finger on it right now, but it would have something to do with defence.
So is this, as many media are obviously saying, an attack on the freedom of the press?
Oh, without a doubt. If you talk to media types, these actions deliver a serious chilling effect on communications between journalists and their sources, especially confidential sources. And the rather tragic part of this is you could never really accurately measure the scale of that effect, because it's an intangible kind of effect. You can only go on the basis of what journalists tell you. And in my research over the years in this area, I've heard journalists tell me that after the government introduced successive national security type laws, people who used to be quite approachable for information tended to keep their distance and be very cautious about their communications or contact with journalists. And so,
I was just going to say, we're really tipping into Julian Assange territory here, aren't we?
Yeah, very much so. I've just managed to locate, the other parties who have a apparent stake in this: the Australian Defence Force, the Special Air Service Regiment, and the Chief of the Defence Force. These are also people who about whom information may have been published in the Afghanistan stories, and whose interests are also sought to be protected through this investigation.
Who is your Minister of Defence?
At the moment, it's Maurice Payne, if I'm not mistaken. I'll need to confirm that with you, and I'll do so in a short while.
Actually, Joseph, I have Linda Reynolds. Is that right? Maybe she's very new to the job.
I've been away when the recent election results and appointments came, but I just got back from Malaysia, and I've not got my head fully around
No matter. I'm just curious as to where this drive has come from. Who the you know who's
well, I can answer. Yeah, it's Linda Reynolds. My apologies. It's the Minister for Defence. My apologies for not being on the ball there. But to your question as to whether the minister had anything to do with this, not officially, and that's what that's the line that Prime Minister has been holding on to. The police are said to have acted independently and not according to any instruction or request from any government agency.
That might deserve a year, right, mightn't it?
Yeah.
Right. That may be a New Zealandism, actually, Joseph.
Plenty of room for inference and suspicion there. But to a large extent, you know, these sort of actions are rare. They have happened intermittently over the years. But thankfully, they are not a frequent occurrence. But the scale of this one has sent some shockwaves across not just the media world in Australia, but it has made a global impact as well.
Joseph, thank you very much for that update.
You're very welcome.
Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Dr. Joseph Fernandez, a media law expert from Curtin University in Perth, and RNZ journalists stand in support of their Australian counterparts, as do journalists right around the world.